This is a podcast from Patriots.com. Woo-hoo! For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
What a great show. Real people with real problems.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
PFW and friends, huh?
Welcome back to the Ross Report podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. I'm Lori Baranski, and it's another Friday right here at Gillette Stadium on September 21st. We have Paul Perlow, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale giving you all the latest Patriots transactions, an update on the injury report, and an old friend back right here with the Patriots, much to the delight of Tom Casale.
Thanks, Lori. Well, week three here at Gillette Stadium for the roster report was a pretty quiet one. Not a lot of major moves going on, no Videogate 2007 really continuing, so...
Not a lot of major moves. That depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, we'll get to your boy in a second.
Tom will fight you.
Let me go through the quick transactions, all of them on the practice squad. Patriots sign quarterback, left-handed, out of Georgia, David Green, former third-round pick. And they re-sign to the practice squad, a guy they're pretty familiar with, the Rudy of the practice squad a couple years back, Ray Ventrone. And to make room for those guys, they released tackle Clint Oldenburg, who's another Tom Casale favorite after his dealings with his brother.
I don't like the cut of his jib. Yeah.
When you figure out what that means, get back to us. But he actually, just the intriguing angle of the whole border war, signed with the practice squad of the Jets.
Oh, did he?
Today.
Yep. I did not know that.
Continues from top to bottom, the players moving back and forth. Paul, I know you like the David Green moves. So why don't you talk about that one first before we give Tom 10 minutes in Raven Trone?
Obviously, you've been being sarcastic, and you know my feelings on left-handed quarterbacks, despite the fact that I was one, I just don't think that you can succeed in
now,
the NFL.
Now, why did they sign him?
In all seriousness, I thought at Georgia he was one of those guys that was surrounded by immense talent. There's a lot of NFL players right now from those teams. And they won a lot. You know, he won some games. I just never thought that he could get them over the hump. I didn't think he had a strong enough arm. I thought a lot of his passes float. And in all seriousness, I tend to think that about a lot of left-handed quarterbacks. Michael Vick is the exception to that rule. A lot of lefty quarterbacks seem to throw, too much touch. And I think Green would fall into that category. But a third-round pick of Seattle.
But why is he here? That's the question. They thought enough of him.
I don't think – I'm starting to think more and more along the lines – that you talked about, I just don't think that they feel like they have a quarterback of the future.
So you think this would be a future? I mean, you have Gutierrez, who Castle. Has to be a quarterback of the future because he's certainly not a quarterback of the present.
No, I know, but I think they're still looking, and I think that's why he's here. And if they think that David Green, you know, if he could get 6-8 weeks under his belt and get immersed into the system, maybe he can help. Maybe they just simply wanted a quarterback for the practice squad. And, you know, I don't really know why you would need one as long as you have Gutierrez around. But,
right.
My guess is that they're not comfortable right now with their situation for a quarterback of the future.
And we should clarify, by the future, we mean sort of the backup for a long time.
Brady's going to be the
quarterback of the present and future for a while. Now, Tom, you can handle Ray Ventrone.
Well, with Green, I believe he's the all-time winningest quarterback in the SEC, I think. And,
did he win a national title?
No, but
he was surrounded by NFL players.
He basically won all those games without ever winning an important one. And, Tom's right.
But he was a winning quarterback, but Paul's right. I don't like his arm strength.
You don't like the cut of his jib either?
No, he floated a lot of balls there. I liked his scouting report. It was right on the money. He floated a lot of balls, threw a lot of balls up for grabs, and guys made plays. Maybe the Patriots see something in him. You know, there's always the thing, he might have a mechanic issue that they think they can adjust or something like that. But I wouldn't get too excited over him.
In terms of useless scouting reports, why don't you move on to Ray Ventrone?
Who I would get excited over.
We know about Ray. He's probably never going to be a safety in the NFL, but he's a good guy. He's got his locker next to Ellis Hobbs. Maybe he'll become the next star. Maybe it'll go from Hobbs to Ray Ventrone.
Or maybe we'll just see him be a nice practice player willing to do just about anything.
Or he'll
and
get
as
caught
Fred
next
said,
week.
He could, but I think he's a great practice squad guy. I think he's the Bam Childress type. Didn't they consider him their practice player of the year? Yes, a couple
year?
Years ago, yes.
So.
And you need those guys. You need guys willing to do anything, get the snot kicked out of them, play. You know, he'll be on offense playing some running back or tight end.
You know he's going to give you a full effort every practice.
And you need some of those guys. You really do.
And we like the guy. Tom likes him a little bit more than Andy and I.
Well, he's the only guy who talks to me.
A little bit more than, his mom.
There's one guy in the locker room who talks to me, Ray Ventrone. Give me a break.
But we'd say that about anybody. I mean, there's a value in a guy like Bam Childress as well. I mean, guys that just can be able to – to mentally immerse themselves into that role. A lot of guys can't do that.
Right. There's two jobs on the practice squad. One is the guy who's legitimately you're trying to develop. You know what they've done with offensive linemen, some of these guys. The other is the guy that you know week in and week out will do everything you ask, give you a good look, has a little – he has athleticism.
Yeah.
He can do some different things for you in terms of moving around, doing whatever the little card says. But realistically – he's not a developmental safety of the future.
He's too small.
Right.
There's, size does matter in some instances.
All instances.
But you might take a guy who was, some rookie that, had, high hopes coming out of college, and it didn't work out for him in training camp, and they cut him. But they said, we're going to put you on the practice squad. And he might not embrace that role. He might be. Buster Davis, the linebacker out of Florida State, evidently was in that mold from Arizona. He didn't want to go in the practice squad. Felt, it seemed from his quotes, felt like he was above it. These guys have
value.
With
that attitude. You'll go far in this league.
the guys that embrace that role have value to teams, and I think Ray Ventrone is one of those guys.
And the rest of the issues this week tend to deal with the injury report and how it could affect the game day roster moving forward. Some of the same guys that have been on it, Tom Brady, as always, with the shoulder. Stephen Neal with the shoulder issue, which forced Billy Yates and Russ Hochstein into action at guard last week. Yates gets banged up. Now Yates is on the injury report with a shoulder issue, so you're down to your third guy there. Depth becoming maybe an issue there, depending on how those can go. And wide receiver, you have Kelly Washington on the injury report with a hamstring injury. You also have Dante Stallworth added with a knee injury on Thursday. And then the other place to keep an eye on is safety, where you're already down Rodney Harrison. Now you have Eugene Wilson on here as limited in practice with an ankle injury. Merriweather might have to be forced into a little bit more action this week. Is there a concern there at those two spots, specifically guard and safety, and with Merriweather having to possibly fill in for Wilson? All we talked about in previewing this Bills games is what big plays, Lee Evans down the field. Could that become an issue?
Well, I think the bigger issue might be at guard, only because the one place the Bills have given the Patriots trouble is along that defensive line. So now if you're on to your third guard, that might give the Bills a little bit of an advantage because Schoble's going to have a good game. There's just some guys own other guys, and he owns Matt Light. I just don't see that changing anytime soon. So maybe if you're down to your third guard, their defensive line gets some momentum early in the game, get pressure on Brady, because that's their only shot is to get pressure on Brady and make him throw the ball early.
The only positive is your third guard is Russ Hochstein, a guy who's been your second guard, been a starter in Super Bowls, kind of guy.
Well, the Bills don't really have a chance, so we can end this now if you'd like. I'm just trying to keep it going.
And for the immediate, for the short term, I think Tom might be right in terms of, for this particular game, you're looking at being three or four deep at guard, depending, and Hochstein's a guy who's battled some injury problems throughout the summer, so he's probably not feeling great, but I agree. I think that that's the one area that they can absorb some injuries, because I think that, and we wrote about this a lot in the preseason, and Andy, you just wrote about it for your story that's going to come out in next week's issue of PFW. The offensive line has five starters that we think of, but really all of those guys have started at one time or another. I think there are nine of them. Mm-hmm. So I really don't feel that much different from one to the next. Now, if Copeland were out, and there's a difference. If Logan Mankins was out, sure, there's a drop-off. But those guys have played together in the past, so there's really no lack of familiarity. And I don't really have that big of a concern if it's Hochstein out there or Yates out there. And unless Neal is a serious injury that we don't know about and he's out long-term.
And shoulder is an issue for him. He missed two seasons with a shoulder injury.
That's why I said if he's out long-term and now you're down to your second guard and now it's only week two and, the wear and tear for him and now you're into Tom's situation where you're three or four deep, come week 12 or 13, then that's an issue.
I agree.
I'm not that concerned about safety, though, because I think the fact that Wilson was on the practice field yesterday makes me feel
a
little bit better.
But we've seen him have issue with injuries lingering in the past. He comes back, he gets nicked up again, he misses more time.
I think he's played well the first two games.
You don't have Artrell Hawkins now.
Safety could be an issue next week if he can't go against the Bengals.
And Merriweather, we haven't seen much from him. We don't know what you have there. So if you go Sanders, Merriweather for an extended period, now the back end of that defense is a little more questionable, and maybe teams look to target, take advantage of that because, let's be honest, the front end of it has been extremely impressive so far. So if they're going to find a weakness, they'll look back.
The good
there.
Thing for Merriweather is the Bills haven't completed a pass over 2 yards all year.
Averaging,
so,
what, like 90 yards a game?
Yeah,
passing,
so
call there.
This, if he did have to play, this is probably the best-case scenario right. for him. Like I said, not next week against Cincinnati. You don't want to see him there.
This might be more of a PFW in progress question, but do you guys think
we'll cross promotion.
That Hobbs or Samuel will take Evans exclusively? And if so, which one?
If it was, if they did it, I think it would be Hobbs.
I have no
because
idea.
He had success doing it last time, and I don't know if Samuel's still up to where they want him doing
it. He did
that
it the
yet.
First game last time, yeah. and they didn't do it the second right. game against Buffalo, you know, up there. Just, I don't know, just something to keep in mind. It's probably not really a roster report kind of a question.
Thanks for bringing it up then.
Sorry.
That's going to put our wraps on a roster report, despite what Paul thinks. Back to Lori.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next Friday for a brand new Roster Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com. It's a beautiful-